by inviting the King of Glory to come in. Okay. So, Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be together today. And, Lord, we do invite you as the honored guest. We just pray, Father, the glory of your presence would shine on every face that's here. We just ask, Lord, for your presence in great abundance. And, Father, we do put ourselves under your protection right now. We blind all the eyes of the watchers. We make them deaf and dumb and mute that they cannot communicate. We ask for your warrior angels to be positioned here at the four corners of this room. And, Father, we do thank you and praise you for your protection. And we declare everything that's declared here today is under the blood of Christ and is privileged, off limits to the enemy incursion. And, Father, we just thank you so much for being here and for those that came. And we know they will get blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay. Well, welcome to the Releasing the Glory Conference. I want to see that glory shine on your face, just like it did with Moses. You know, Moses met God face to face. He wasn't afraid, was he? All right, get over your fear. You're going to meet him face to face, and then you'll shine with the glory of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So I want to introduce Rick and Lori Taylor. If you just stand up and wave. From the healing rooms of Santa Maria Valley. They're also the national directors and divisional directors. Divisional directors means they have the entire North American continent, Mexico, right? And Canada and the United States. So they're pretty busy people. They have a huge healing room in Santa Maria. They're going to tell you about that. They're going to encourage you all to come to a higher level in Christ, as we all are this weekend. So they're very, very active out there in the Central Coast. So they want to make make it a training center and a place of refuge for the body of Christ in the Central Coast. Santa Maria, California. We were privileged to go out there 2.5 years ago, and we were greatly blessed and encouraged and motivated to do some things because of that. So you're just going to be so blessed today. So Lori, why don't you come up, and we'll try to get this hooked up, right, so we can get started. They just did background music, right? So we're ready to go? You're ready to go. You want to do one more song? Okay, well, if you're ready to do songs, that's what I asked before. Go ahead. Stand up.
It's what we do.
Stand up.
Praise you.
Yeah. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? The first time I walked into this sanctuary yesterday, I felt it. God, you are so beautiful. You are so precious to us. Your presence means everything. God, cover this place with your feathers. God, keep us in the shelter of your wings. We thank you for the angels. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. And I thank you for each and every one of these people who have come in, Lord God. We thank you for New England, and we thank you for New York State. We thank you that this is one of the birthplaces of the nation in this area, Father God. We thank you so much that you have used this country in such mighty ways. We thank you that you have used this region in such mighty ways. God, your beauty is here. We have but to look around and see all of your creation. Lord, you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. We glorify you, Lord God. We glorify your name. We praise Jesus. We praise the Lord. We praise your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is welcome here. Welcome here. We need you. We are nothing without your Holy Spirit. David said, "Take not thine Holy Spirit from me." Oh, God, we lift up our voices to you in praise and worship. We love you so, Lord. You are our hope. You are our God. You are the lover of our souls. You are precious in our sight. You are the morning star. You are day spring. You are forgiveness. You are faithfulness. You are grace. God, we love you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lift your voices in praise. Lift your voices in praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. If I can stand up long enough, I would really like, you could sit down. Thank you so much. We just want to welcome you. I know Vince already did, but we want to welcome all of you from this area for coming. I'd like to find out how many of you are from different states. We got a few from New York State, I know. If you're from New York State, would you raise your hands? Yay, thank you. And I know we have a few from Connecticut. Yeah, over here, all right. Thank you, Lord. A few from Vermont over here. Hallelujah. And I have anybody from Massachusetts? And I think we've got a few from Maine. Yes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I know that there are more of you coming tonight. There will be, pardon me? Rhode Island. We have a Rhode Island? Praise God. Anybody from New Hampshire? Yes, all right. All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. I will. just want to say that we're so glad that you are all here today. And I know there will be more of you coming tonight, and there's more that are registered for tomorrow. Because Friday is a work day. Unfortunately, we have to think about those things. But we do welcome Lori and Rick. We're so glad. They came from the other coast. And it was a long day for them yesterday, so we're just thanking them. Could you just give them another hand? Mm-hmm. Now, I know we have a few healing room directors here. We've got Jeff Volkens. Where's Jeff? Jeff and Michelle. Jeff, stand up. Jeff is the state director for Massachusetts and Connecticut. And he's a traveling man, so we're glad you could be here today. Now, if you're a director of a healing room, would you, of Vermont, yes. Keith, stand. State director for Vermont. All right, and New Hampshire, that's right. All right, so New Hampshire, see that guy right there, okay? If you're interested in starting a healing room. How many of you are healing room team members?
Everybody.
Almost everybody? Almost, okay. All right. Pardon me? I'm getting there. They say women tell men what to do. state healing room directors, or local healing room directors, I should say. How many of you are here? Okay. What? Stand up and give us your names.
And your healing room.
And your healing room.
Start over here.
Eileen, we're so glad to have you here. Lena, good to see you. Lena was in Syracuse a while back, too. You had a daughter that lives there? Daughter. Amen. And this? Go ahead. Praise God. Praise God. I haven't had a chance to meet you, so we'll catch up later. Who are you? Amen, amen. We had a great time with those guys a few months ago training them. That was just awesome. Don? Okay, great. That's great. Welcome, 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 welcome. Yay! Yeah, these guys are also pastors, and we had a wonderful time with them, too. What was it we celebrated? Was it Passover? Tabernacles. It was Tabernacles. That was lovely. That was wonderful. And Ross? Welcome. Welcome. Jeff? Yep. And Kim. And I don't know if Vince told you, but Kim and Roger, her husband, who was there he is right there, are the healing room directors here, and they have just been so awesomely hospitable. She has just gone above and beyond helping us get everything set, you know, hotel reservations, recommending great restaurants, and so many other things that she has done, and we're just so grateful. So thank you all for being here. Be blessed. Rick and Lori, you are going to absolutely, they're going to blow your socks off. They've got so much going on there in Santa Maria, and they will encourage all of us, so thank you.
I'll be careful, please, on the cords. All right, before Lori comes up, I'm going to share a prophetic word with you that I give you the opportunity to make it your own. Okay, you can make this word your own. So close your eyes and concentrate. From this region, liberty shall go forth. Proclaim freedom for the captives. The recovery of sight for the blind and hearing for the deaf. It has been determined and established that a move of my spirit shall crash upon this nation from this region. It shall go forth as a cleansing flood, dismantling the thrones of iniquity that have kept my people in darkness. It shall go forth as a call to holiness, as in days gone by, make straight paths for the Lord. No longer shall the vain and profane be tolerated. But in my sight, all shall be swept away. Sound a clarion call. Make straight paths for the Lord. release the captives. Rejoice, for the appointed time is at hand. What you have labored for shall begin to be seen. It will not be held back. Great favor is being put upon your lives. So go forth, clothed as warriors. Command my angels, declare a thing, and it will be established. For the call of Patrick Henry was not birthed in the physical, but in the spirit. The cry for freedom from the ancient oppressor is not new, yet few would take the position of achieving liberty at all costs, even death. As you declare my words in the days ahead, they shall ring with the sound of liberty and begin to form a platform from which all my righteous decrees can be sounded and heard. In this atmosphere, even those in deepest darkness, whose ears have long been stopped up by the enemy, shall hear the call to liberty and respond. Amen. Amen. Okay, Lori, come on up here. We'll get you hooked up, and we'll get started. You're gonna be thrilled to hear what's going on. And Rick.
Well, good morning. Hey, we're really excited to be here with you guys and gals. We're going to have a really amazing time. God's really pouring out, man. I'll tell you, all over the world right now. And Lori's going to begin. She's going to start. She's going to show you what God's doing in California and with us. And we've come here to the East Coast, to New England, to bring to you what God's doing with us. We want to make a deposit in you because there's increase right now. We're in a season of great increase. And, you know, we have messages, but it's not so much what we say, but it's what we carry. And we're carrying a lot. And for every hungry person that wants to go higher and further, we've got something for you. It's transferable. And so we're excited to be here. And just get ready to go to a whole new level. God is really pouring out. This is the time the prophet Joel prophesied, where he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And he's preparing Healing Rooms Ministry for global. We're in 79 nations now, almost 80. It's going to be in 80 probably by the end of the year, 80 nations. But this is one of the tools God is using for evangelism, and we call it power evangelism. And so God is doing some big things. He's a big God. How many know he's a big God? He's not a God of mediocrity. But he's a great God, and Lori's going to just kind of show you some of the things that's happening in Santa Maria.
Thank you. Put it down. Oh, there. Whoop. Just. Okay. Hello. 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 Okay. Can you hear me? Oops. Yeah. We'll say that. Okay. We're excited to be here and excited for what God is going to do this weekend. We feel like, because I was asking the Lord, why are we going all the way to Boston? What are we, or this, what's the name of this town? West Boylston. We flew into Boston, and we just felt like he wanted to use us to speak encouragement to you and to the different healing rooms, and we feel like we carry something that will release a vision and just encouragement to do.
Thank you.
show you what God's done in 16 years through us and to give you maybe vision for what he might do here. So this first clip is just a quick overview.
My name is Lori Taylor. Rick, my husband, and I are the directors of the Santa Maria Healing Rooms. And 16 years ago when we started, we were just Healing Rooms. And now, 16 years later, we've grown into an apostolic center. We have schools, we have worship school, prophetic school, we have a house of prayer. And so I just wanted to show you a little bit of what our building looks like. We just renovated our bookstore. And we wanted it to be kind of a place where someone could come and maybe sit and have a cup of coffee and look at books while they're waiting for prayer. We have a house of prayer that's growing. We hope to be 24/6, but we're not near that yet. We have several sessions during the week. And when we don't have live sets, we're live streaming from Kansas City, IHOP. Every knee will bow before him. We have the healing room side, and then we have a conference center side, which most of that was. And we have, this is the healing room side, where people come Monday night, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning. They sign up for prayer, and every time before they come, we do a 45-minute worship set. And then Rick or somebody shares about 15 or 20-minute devotional. And we're having a lot of people come now just for the service. Like, they come for that and then they leave. A lot of people. And
is this on? Oh. When did that happen? I didn't even see it. Okay. So this is our worship team, and the lady there with the guitar, her name is Cindy Goff. She's been with us pretty much since day one. She's our senior worship leader, and we have several different worship teams. And then the picture in the screen is, this is during practice. This was just Monday night a week ago. And it's a testimony of a lady, and I'm going to show you her testimony. But we've come up with a lot of original songs, and so we've made a music group called Healing Rooms SMV for Santa Maria Music Group, and we're coming out with our first CD. It'll be ready for Christmas, that we want to bless Healing Rooms with. Like, we'll sell it for a discount price, and then if you want to sell it, and it has the Healing Rooms DNA. It's mostly original music. And so this is a clip of an original song that Cindy wrote about 3 years ago. People come in, and again, we started 16 years ago. When we started, we used a little boom box for worship while people waited, and we had just 12 people on our team, and we started really small, and just slowly over the years we grew. But so every Monday night and Tuesday morning, we have a full band like that, and then Wednesday and Thursday are a little bit slower days, so we have still one or two people either on a guitar or a piano or whatever, and we still do 45 minutes of worship, but it's a little different. So we have two really busy days and two maybe a little bit slower days, although they can be busy. And so people come and we have the worship set, and then We have preaching, and this is just, all of these are like under like 30 seconds, but this is a sample of a clip that just came out of Rick. It's half a minute long. Oh.
But it's telling us, don't forget all the benefits. Who forgives all your sins? How many of your sins will he forgive? Every single one of them. Erased completely as if they'd never happened. Never to be brought up again. Blotted out, erased. And he heals all your diseases. Every single one of your diseases. Every single person. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing's too hard for God. We've seen amazing healings and miracles where doctors said it's impossible. Jesus said, I've got a second opinion. All things are possible.
So he's a good preacher. So that's what you'll be hearing tonight. So he preaches about 15 or 20 minutes, like I said, and then we break up into rooms and we start praying for people. It's been a few years now because this next clip I'm going to show you, our building's changed since then. But one day, for some reason, I was sitting at the desk. We have a full-time receptionist, but this day I was at the desk and this woman came in with two friends, and she's going to tell her story. But I was sitting there when she came in, and the ladies had to hold her, one on each elbow, to help her in. She was in excruciating pain. She was literally crying. And they had to sit her down and, like, really slowly sit her down. And I was just thinking, what in the world? And I, you know, we have a stack of people waiting, so I took her paper and I put it on the top because I thought, she just can't sit here. She was literally sitting there crying. So they came and got her, and she really slowly walked into a room. And about a half hour later, I hear this scream, and I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on? And then all this racket. So I came around the corner, and here's that lady, and here's what happened to her. Oh, it's got sound.
1984, when I was a nurse, and a patient fell on top of me and cracked two vertebrae and ruptured three discs. And eight surgeries later, a discogram, two discs, surgeries, and two complete fusions with two sets of rods and one, two, three, eight screws. I couldn't move. And it got worse and it got worse and it got worse till I found out that I had hepatitis C from a bad IV and I couldn't take any medicine. And then all the medicine started making me sick. So I went into the pain center, and they said, well, we'll insert a pain pump into your back. Well, that went bad because I was allergic to all the medicine they put in the pain pump. And so I came out of there going, that's it. I can't take any medicine. I can't have any kind of more surgery. There's nothing, the doctor said, we can do for you. So my girlfriend says, well, let's go to the prayer room. That's something I could do. And I came today, and I couldn't move. I couldn't walk. I needed help getting dressed. I couldn't bend over to put my shoes on by myself. And now I can touch my toes. I'll be able to take care of myself completely. I can move.
Awesome.
And I don't hurt. When I walked in here, I had so much pain through here. I was crying. I was hurting, and I don't hurt. The Lord has my whole complete body to do his will now, and I am healed, and I'm grateful, and I'm so thrilled today. This is the day the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. And this is the day that he gave Paulette their bread and body. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Jacob. That's
awesome. I wonder if I'm doing new life now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Paulette.
So, you know, when I see things like that and remember things like that, it reminds me that's why we're doing this. You know, that's why we have healing rooms. If she was the only person healed in a year, it would be worth every day going down there. And so I feel like the Lord wants to encourage all of you that it's worth it, even on the hard days, even on days when one person comes in or 100. It doesn't matter. We're doing this because it's God's heart, because he has a plan for your region, for your cities. He wants to release healing. And so, that was such an amazing, amazing day. And everybody in there was crying. She didn't want to leave. She sat in there and she called her husband and she called all her friends and she just didn't want to leave. And so this has been a few years. She's still great. And God's just amazing. Yep. So, and I know you all have testimonies, and this is just what's going on here, but I know everybody has a story. Another thing, when we started, my heart has always been for House of Prayer. How many of you are familiar with House of Prayer in Kansas City? Okay. So how many of you know who Julie Meyer is? She's a worship leader that started with Kansas City, was there even before House of Prayer started. She was one of their main worship leaders. Well, we started a House of Prayer a couple of years ago, and 1 year ago, Julie and Walt moved to help us with ours. And so she's now on staff with us, and she's helping us get our House of Prayer going, which is, I can't even believe it. I'm just so excited. So we have House of Prayer, and this is a clip. It has sound on it, too, of there's Julie and Walt. And then a few of our other team members. Oh, the guy on the violin is Maurice Scalar. If some of you know him, he traveled with Benny Hinn for 20 years playing the violin. He was just got back. They live in Santa Maria, too, which is another mind-blowing thing. Just got back from a tour in Israel with Mike Huckabee. They go with him a couple times a year. And he's in the top three violinists on the planet. And God sent him to us. So anyway, this is a short clip. Most of them are short. There's a couple longer ones. This is another just sample of Monday night. So that's on Monday night. We start, we have one night and three mornings. Monday, worship starts at 5 on the healing room side, and then we do the preaching and dividing up in rooms, and then this set goes on for 2 hours from 6 to 8. So people are in one room. You just go out a door and down a very short hallway, well, short part of the long hallway, to the House of Prayer, and then we have people, we tell people, if you want to wait for prayer in the House of Prayer, you can go in there, or you can wait in the healing room side, and we have soaking music on. So people go wait in here. And this is an intercession worship set. We have a set, this also has sound, on human trafficking once a week. So one day a week, we're for 1 hour, we pray for human trafficking on the Central Coast. We also have a children's set. We call it the Samuel Company. And I'm standing there, and then the boy in the yellow shirt, the little girl and the boy in the blue, those are our three grandkids. They live in Georgia, but they were out a couple weeks ago. So, but anyway, it's a set for moms and kids or grandmas or dads or grandpas. And the girl with the little baby with the pink, the girl with the hat, I'm going to show you her testimony in a minute. This was taken last week, but I'll show you her testimony from 4 years ago. And here's a short clip of this set. We want the kids to know that prayer is fun and that they can come into the house of God and have fun. So it's a wild, crazy set with no rules. They can run around and jump around. Every other set has rules, but this one you'll see. That's Julie Meyer talking.
So the little ones can come to the house of the Lord and praise Jesus and not have to be quiet.
It's my favorite prayer meeting.
So we have videos up. Beth will put out some really good children's music videos, and the kids like to watch them, and they're just all peppy songs. And they are running around dancing, and then we have the microphone. This is Sarah Meyer, who is Julie's daughter-in-law, praying. And the moms will get up and just pray for kids and pray for children's pastors or different things. And so this set is 45 minutes. We do that every Thursday morning from 9 to 9:45, and people are starting to, we've only been doing it a couple months, so people are starting to know now, and more moms are coming with their kids. So then we have a set. We're doing focus sets. So for the last 3 months, this month will be the last one, every Wednesday from 11 to 12, I do a set. I play the piano, and I don't sing. So I read scriptures, and I pray over police officers in our region. And so it's really been amazing. We've had some police officers in there, and they get up and pray, and they know what to pray, and it's been eye-opening. And then next, after this month, I'm going to refocus on something else. But prayer is the furnace behind any ministry. And if you have a house of prayer, James Gall, and I should have put it on here and I didn't think of that, but James Gall had a word several years ago about the birthing of Siamese twins. And he said one of them was healing rooms and the other one was house of prayer, and that wherever these two came together, they would be an explosion of God's power. So I want to encourage you to at least pray about asking the Lord, could I have a house of prayer connected with my healing rooms? It's just the furnace. If you think of a house, it's the furnace in the house that flames everything that God wants to do. And since we've had a house of prayer the last few years, we have just really seen an increase. The Monday night set that I showed you, they pray for our house of prayer. They pray for the Apostolic Center. Oh, also every Wednesday we have staff house of prayer for 1 hour. And we take the first half hour and we pray for everything that goes on under our roof. And then the second half hour until November 8th, we're praying for the elections. But as we've been praying and praying and asking God and just honoring him, he's just been such an increase. Okay, now I'm going to show you this testimony. It's 4 minutes long. And it's of the girl that was holding the little baby, and that's not her baby, it's her friend's baby. But her name is Eli. And 4 years ago, she came into the healing rooms, and she's going to share what happened. And so I won't give you her testimony, but Rick was preaching, and he got this word, and the word was for her. And from then until now, she now has a ministry, her own 501c3, called Redemption Street Disciples. She ministers to homeless people. It just makes me cry. So I'm going to show you this.
Came to the healing rooms because I'm in rehab and I was desperate for anything, and I was pretty much gonna kill myself, and I just asked God. I just came with no expectations. I came for anything. I needed something big or else I was gonna kill myself. Well, I'm just gonna read off this for now. This is my notes I've been trying to define for the last month to come here, because there's been so many things that have happened that I really just put the big things down. I mean, the list could go on, and I couldn't finish, so I finally got the 10 biggest things, the main, you know, so this is it. All right, so just read?
Please.
Okay. So I came to these healing rooms just 50 days ago. I'm from LA and have seen and lived horrors of all kinds. I got here completely desperate and broken, with a definite plan that if I failed again, I was relieved to know with everything in me that I was completely at ease killing myself in my storage unit back in LA. Suicide was the only relief I had left. I had no expectations of God. I just needed to know he wanted me to go on living, and I needed to desperately breathe inside. So the healing that has happened. One, before the prayer rooms, the pastor said, there is someone here that has been in a dark, dark place. The Lord is telling me now to hold on, that the healing has already begun. I knew he was speaking to me. Two, I hadn't slept in weeks, and when I did, I was consumed with horrific night terrors. But that night, I finally slept 4 hours straight with no nightmares. Three, I walked out with a sense of peace I've never known. I immediately felt lighter when I inhaled and exhaled. I could breathe inside for the first time. Four, my PTSD was so unbearable, I actually started having seizures triggered by flashbacks of past trauma. I haven't had one since, and God has given me enough relief to finally begin working on my buried past. 5. I pray deliverance from bondage of past soul ties. I no longer feel chained to unhealthy people, my past abusers, my street family in the hood, or anyone. 6. The judge in LA didn't send me to prison. He told me just 4 days after these healing rooms that he could see something different in me. He told me to stay in Captive Hearts Rehab. 7. I went back to the doctor to recheck my heart. He was puzzled and told me, with shock on his face that my 2 damaged heart valves and murmur were gone. How could this be? He repeated. I don't understand. I just smiled. I went to the healing rooms last week, I said. It's God, man. He checked me 3 times. 8. A girl came into the rehab, and the first night she asked if I wanted to leave with her and get high on heroin. And it hit me that God had removed the obsession to get loaded. She left the next day, but I was able to pray with her. 9. I want to be a street minister and youth advocate to homeless kids, runaways, and abused kids, but also to help those trapped in gang life. 10. I got diagnosed with HIV in 2007. But after the healing rooms, I had accepted to use even my worst challenges for his will and to give hope. I finally gave in to get new labs to check the levels of my T-cells and viral count. To my shock and those around me, I am now completely negative. My conclusion? God is a show-off and my best friend. He literally tickles me when I'm sad. The end.
So that tattoo on her neck says forgiven. And one of her friends, who was a homeless, a lot of these girls were prostitutes. This girl was a prostitute. I stupidly one day asked the baby's mother's name is Courtney, and I asked Eli, because there was this man holding her, and I said, is that the baby's dad? And she goes, she doesn't know who the dad is. And I went, it's just such a different world. But this little baby, the mother, Courtney, loves Eli so much, she named her little daughter Eli, so that's baby Eli. And anyway, in 4 years, I don't know why, she just makes me cry, because seeing the miracle from the girl that walked in that night to this girl, she is so amazing. A couple weeks ago, she was at the healing rooms during the day, and this really kind of scary-looking homeless guy came in, and God's healing me of this, but anyway, and I told Eli, I go, there's this guy out there, and he's kind of scary. She goes, what? And she walks out there and gives him this big old hug, and I thought, oh, God, I need to grow in areas, but she just loves these people, and so many of them are getting saved and healed. And Julie Meyer, once a month, she goes to this redemption center. A church in our area gave Eli a part of their building to use, and she has the homeless come in there, and she does Bible studies and just feeds and clothes them. And so Julie, once a month, is going down to the center and doing voice lessons with them. And she said it's amazing how many of these people just have gifts inside of them, and they start singing, and she said it's just amazing. So another thing, when I said Paulette's healing, if that was the only one that got healed in a year, it'd be worth it. If Eli's the only person whose life changed out of this ministry that we've done, it would be worth it to me. Yeah. It's just so amazing what the Lord's doing. So when people come in that are broken and even scary, you don't know. They could be the next whoever. She has, in 4 years, she has led more people to the Lord in 4 years than most people I know. I mean, we go to the same church, and on Sunday morning, she gets van loads of people, and she brings them, and every week they're getting saved, 4 or 5, up to 10 people a week, giving their life to God and changing and going from street people to people with dignity because of her love for them and the Lord's love. So It's amazing. Healing Rooms Ministry is an amazing, amazing tool that God's using on the earth. So be encouraged, those of you, all of you who are involved in Healing Rooms. It's making a difference for eternity. It's making a difference. So there's that part of it. And then also where we are, God's doing amazing things. Paul Kane, who, if you don't know who he is, he's 87 years old now. He's a prophet who, you know, has gone through things. Right now he's doing really good and has been for years. He's been with us for 10 or 12 years, I think. And so he has his ministry, even though he's not doing a lot now because he's getting older. But this was taken last week. So there's a Hollywood producer who has done a lot of documentaries and different films, and he wanted to do a documentary on Paul Kane's life from the early days till now. So he came up to our healing rooms, he and a couple friends, last week, and because we've been caring for Paul, he has a personal assistant named David Kingsley, who's our brother-in-law. He's married to my sister, and he's been caring for him with a lot of, like, taking him to the doctor and all that kind of things. But we've been financially covering Paul for years and just pouring into him. And I believe also that's part of why God's blessed us so much, is because when you honor the prophetic, there's a prophetic honor that comes. So anyway, this clip, it has sound, but the sound's really low. So, you know, it's not about the sound. It's just about 15 seconds, I think. But it's the producer that came up, and they're interviewing Rick in his office just talking about Paul. So that's going to be coming out, do you know when? Yeah, they're working on it. They've been doing all kinds of stuff and preparing. It's going to be a really, I mean, they had all these lights, camera, action. It was kind of cool. So God's doing things like that. And let's see here. Okay, in our event center, we have a lot of different events, but this is our house of prayer, and we have a church that's using our building on Sunday evening. So they were in the big room, so we did this in the house of prayer. And Patricia King had a live Rosh Hashanah, if any of you watched it, we streamed it live in the house of prayer. So this is like 20 seconds of that.
Work and they don't have food. The Angelus Temple had a bigger feeding program than the government feeding program. They fed more people, and their church grew. They didn't.
So these are just ideas of things you can do. You want to get people in your building so they know this is going on, and then they tell their friends, and then people who need healing can come. So I knew that she was doing this, and I just sent out an email, and we sent out the email the day before this, and we had 20 people, which wasn't a whole lot. But just to do things like this, but if you really, when we really advertise, a lot of people come. And I'll show you a few other things we're doing with the idea of getting people who wouldn't go to church into a building where they can receive the Lord and receive prayer. So this next thing, I had my assistant put together photographs of people that we've invited, and they've come into our building and done conferences, starting with all of our mom and dad. This is Julie singing a song she wrote.
We say yes, we say yes, we say yes, we say yes. And this is my heart. And this is my song. To go with you, run with you, be with you wherever you are. I've counted the cost. I've laid my life down. I'll waste it all, give it all, pour it all out for you. I'll follow you anywhere. Anywhere, I'll follow. No mountains too high, no valleys too low. To go with you, run with you, be with you.
So I know some of those people you knew and some you didn't, but it's just some of the people that we've invited to do conferences, and then people have come into the building just because maybe they like the particular person, and then they find out, oh, you have this going on here, and then they want to come back for more. So you can invite people in and just do even a one-night conference just to get people aware of what you're doing and talk about healing rooms. We have the school, Healing Room School of Supernatural Life. What we do is this is our sixth year, I believe. We bought the DVDs from Bethel for their school of supernatural ministry. This year we changed it to Supernatural Life. And we have a young couple that are heading that up, Josiah and Jessica. And Jessica's an amazing worship leader. She's the main worship leader at our church. And so they're heading up the school, and they do it every Tuesday and Thursday night. And it's been really good. It just started 4 weeks ago, and I had a guy at church come up to me, and he goes, even if this school ended now, it would be worth the money. He said it's just so, so good. So that's something you can do too. But I know a lot of you don't have buildings, but we're here to release vision, to ask God for a building. And Rick might share a little bit how we got ours with no money. We have Central Coast Worship Leaders Connect. Our worship leader, Cindy Goff, the Lord gave her this idea to invite worship leaders from all over our area to come one night a quarter, so it's just four times a year, and they all get together, and she has one of them share their testimony, one of them lead worship, and then they speak into things that worship leaders need. So she invites the leader and the whole team. And it's been packed out. People are coming, hearing about it, and it's connecting, because when the Lord looks from heaven, he sees a region, and we're all the worship leaders are worshiping him together. And when they come together with unity, it's amazing what it's doing in the churches and building friendships with the different worship leaders. Doesn't matter what church they go to. So that's an awesome thing. School of Transformation, we do one day a week on a Monday afternoon, and that's Cal Pierce's videos. And for I think it's only like $160, you get a flash drive, and it's got all of year one and year two. And there's some really, really good teaching in there. Kel does some great ones. Johnny Inlow, Graham Cook, just a bunch of different teachers. That's another thing you can do. You can even meet just once a week and have a school. You'd be surprised at how many people just want to be trained and want to come out to that. And so we do that. We have Inner Healing and Deliverance Ministry. Inner Healing called Healing the Brokenhearted. And it's when we get people in our healing rooms and they need more than the 30-minute prayer, we have them sign up for Healing the Brokenhearted, and they take an hour, and they can come back three times, so they go deeper, and for that, they make an appointment. Then we have a deliverance ministry called Deep Calls Unto Deep, and if it's more of just a deliverance, they sign up for an appointment for that, too, and they can come in. Okay. So Julie's doing vocal training. We have people come in, and we have all our worship leaders go through the training, because even Julie takes vocal lessons. You always need to keep, you know, fine-tuning your gift. So we do that once a quarter. We have prophetic training. We're starting prophetic rooms. This is really exciting, too. The couple on there, I don't know if you remember, Graham and Sabrina Cook, Walsh, they were in Kansas City for 16 years as well, and Mike Bickle had Graham be over the healing rooms there at IHOP, and Sabrina was over prophetic rooms. So they've moved to Santa Maria, and they've joined us. And so this month, we're kicking off the first prophetic rooms. They've been doing some training. So what it'll be is people come in, and they sign up for healing rooms, or both, and they can sign up for a prophetic room, and not healing rooms. And so they'll go in a room, and we'll have three trained prophetic ministers, and they'll take, Sabrina has it all planned out, I think 3 minutes or something, and they'll get prophetic words. And we believe and we know that God is going to send government leaders. We know he's going to send people of importance in the world to come and hear from God. We know it. I don't know how long that's going to take, but we know it. There's some things behind the scenes going on with political figures that are amazing. Some of them really want to hear from God, and it's amazing what's going on. So as we do this, we'll have private prophetic places where people can come. Wesley and Stacy Campbell, they were on the clip. This is mind-blowing too, but they're moving to Santa Maria next month. They've been out a few times, and they just felt like Stacy has traveled around the world. She never thought she'd leave Kelowna, Canada, but when she came here, she felt like God said they were going to move here, and she went home. She came by herself, and she went home and told Wesley, and he's like, no way. So she said, you got to go out there. So he came for one day, hung out with Rick and I. We showed him around, and God spoke to him. So they're working on their visas, and I think that process is about finished, and they're going to join us, and they'll be part of the prophetic thing that we're doing. Stacy has huge vision for stuff. So God's up to something. And 16 years ago when we started, we would have never thought any of this. It still blows our mind. We're like, what? So we also have Maurice with us, and he does classical concerts. I'll show you a clip of that after this. We have Pulse, which is once a month for young people. It's worship and a 15-minute teaching, just so they mostly are coming for the worship and fellowship. And that kicked off several months ago, and our brother-in-law David, who was in the picture with Paul Kane, and then there was a man, and then the man in the middle is David Kingsley, who's Paul's assistant. He's the pastor over Pulse, he and my sister. And we've got a lot of kids from the community coming out and just wanting to worship. And then Restoring the Foundations. How many of you are familiar with Restoring the Foundations? Okay, with Chester and Betsy Kilstra. Oh, my gosh, talk about mind-blowing. So they are not moving, but they're coming for 3 months, March, April, and May next year, because Betsy said, I want to come. She loves the inner healing, which they focus on, but she said, I want to come and be trained by you guys on healing. That's another, like, oh my gosh, mind-blowing. So they're going to be coming out and hanging out in the spring. But we have a couple named Herb and Cindy Soares, and they do RTF in our building. We gave them free of rent. They have a nice room with a private entrance, and they do Restoring the Foundation sessions under our roof. Because we want to include whatever God wants to do. We pray about who to bring in and what to do. So we've become a full-blown apostolic center. Our vision is a place in our region where anybody from any denomination can come and be trained in prophecy and healing, in house of prayer. We're going to start a worship school. Julie and Cindy are working on putting together a worship school. We see people from all over the world that will come and stay for a month or two or three, and where we can send, where you guys can send, or pastors can send worship leaders or people who want to be trained in prophetic, and we're going to have maybe a month schools, and you can come and just stay for a month and be trained up in things. And so that part of it's just getting going, but it's we see it. It's coming. So here's a clip from a concert. We flew out a guy who plays the piano with, his name is Hugh Sung, and he lives somewhere around here. And so he flew out to be the pianist with this concert. So we do these concerts once a quarter as well, and Maurice is a messianic Jew, and his heart is, he said he wants to win the Jewish people. And they love, a lot of them, he said, love classical music. So they'll come to this place because it's not a church, it's a building. So we don't say anything religious, we just advertise a classical concert. Last time we did it, our event center, which holds 2-something, was jam-packed, and most of the people I had never seen before. So they came in to have a night of a classical concert, and I know these people are going to be giving their lives to the Lord. One thing, Maurice lives in this neighborhood, and next door is a concert violinist. Her name is Betty. Her and her husband are atheists. But she's been coming for the last year to these concerts because Maurice is such an amazing, so she'll come, and they're just, and he does talk about the Lord and stuff, and they sort of, I look at, they scoff a little bit, but that's okay. But she told a friend of mine, she goes, I don't know what it is about that place, but everybody's just so friendly. And so God's using this for this couple. I know they're going to end up giving their lives to him, because how could you not? So this is the outside of our building. We, HR Hop is Healing Rooms House of Prayer, and then the international logo from Spokane. And we call it Healing Rooms Apostolic Center. And we're off of a road where people drive by a lot and they see it. And we get people coming in, just new people all the time. And they're thinking, what is this place? And then they find out we have this going on and that going on and something going on almost every day of the week. And it's just amazing what God has done. And so vision for you, you might think, well, how in the world we can never do that. But you can, because 16, why not? Big God, why not? You're right. So I'm going to end this by going back to the beginning. In 1999, Rick and I stepped out of secular work and went into full-time ministry. And Rick became associate pastor at a vineyard church in Santa Maria. And so we were on staff there, and we heard on the Elijah list something about healing rooms. And so we flew up to Spokane, Washington, and it was before they had been going a year. And well, first Rick called Cal and said, hey, I read something about that. Cal invited us up. So we went up, we met them, we stayed there for a week, we joined their teams, and we thought, we just got vision, we can do this. So we came back to California, and we took, well, that was in 2000 when we went to Spokane. 1999, we started doing itinerant ministry and associate pastoring. 2000, we went to Spokane. We came back. We thought we could do healing rooms. But the Lord said, I want you to pray into this. So we took 7 weeks, morning and evening, and we got a group of people, and we prayed for 7 weeks. During that prayer time, somewhere in those 7 weeks, I had a vision, and it was a quick picture of this huge orchard of fruit trees. And Jesus was walking around, and he was caring for every tree. But in real orchards, every tree is the same. You have an orange grove or a peach orchard or whatever. But this one, every single tree had different fruit. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And what it was is when, like I said, Jesus looks down from heaven, he sees a region. We're called the Central Coast of California because we're halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco on the coast. He looks at that region. He looks at New England, and he doesn't see this. He sees all different places, but they're all one orchard. You might get an orange when you go to one place and a peach when you go somewhere else, but it's all his orchard under his care. And so we thought, okay, this will be obviously open to anybody, any Christian, to be part of our team. We want all people to come, but obviously Christians on the team. But it doesn't matter. We have charismatic Catholics, Protestants, mainline, just every denomination you can think of we have on our team. And we love it. I don't even know who goes to what church anymore. It used to be like, oh, where do you go to church? Now it doesn't matter. It's just if you love Jesus. So we all come together. So we started, because we were on staff, we got to use a building in the church in the year 2000. August of 2000, we just had our 16th anniversary. So we had this little boom box. We put CDs in it, and we would have that for a little bit of worship. And then we had 6 people on Monday night and 6 people on Tuesday morning, and we just started praying with 12 people on our team. And every month we would do a training. But we didn't just do healing rooms training. We made it a conference. We would have a good 45-minute worship set, and then we would teach, and we invited everybody and anybody. After 1 year, we had 100 people on our team from doing trainings or conferences month after month after month. It just began to grow. So that was what God had us do, just keep having them. If one person showed up, we just acted like the room was full. There never was one, but sometimes maybe there was, I think 15 maybe was the smallest one we had. But and then sometimes it'd be full. But people would see, and God would speak to them, I want you to be a part of this, so they'd join our team. So we started the ministry, and I believed God healed people, but back at that time, my experience was I pray for people and they get worse. We pray for people and they die, and I thought, God, what are you doing? You know? And so I thought, Rick had a whole lot of faith right from the beginning, but I was struggling. And so one day I just said, God, and if he would have told us we were going to end up like this, I would have run. I know it. So he'd only told us a little bit at a time. So I said, how am I supposed to be heading up a healing ministry when I'm not even absolutely positive that you really want to heal everybody? I've totally changed since then, but this was back then, 16 years ago. So the first month we were open, this woman came in, and Rick and I were praying together, and she had breast cancer. And so she came in the room, and my mother died of cancer at the age of 51, and so I'm thinking, and she was loved God so much, and in my mind, I had thought, if anybody deserved to be healed, she did, and she didn't, so why would you heal anybody else? That's just where I was. I know that's very bad theology, but it was mine at the time. So this woman comes in, and she said she had breast cancer, and so Rick had the lady put her hand over the tumor, and then I put my hand on hers, and then Rick put his hand over mine, and we prayed and spoke to that and commanded it to go. And so Rick's praying with all this faith, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh, you poor lady, your poor kids, you're going to die, you're not going to be here. And then I'm thinking, what am I doing? Stop that. And I knew it was wrong, but I was there. And so, she left, and I had planned her funeral for her, and Rick was thinking she's going to be healed. And so a week later, she comes in, and she looks for us, and she goes, hey, and I'm thinking, what's she going to tell us? And she goes, I just have to tell you, I went to the doctor, and I have no cancer. And I looked at her, and I said, you're kidding. I couldn't believe it. So God started to change my thinking, but some of you have been there, I know, I'm sure. It's a place we go because we try to figure things out. So this one day, God told me, because I was so struggling, he said, get a piece of paper and write down on one side what I know and what I don't know. So I started out with God heals, I know he does. And I had a whole list. And then on this side, so over here was the good side. I know God heals. I know he wants to heal. Just all the things, good. And then over here, I'm moving a little bit, was, I don't know why you heal some people and then some people you don't. How come somebody has cancer and they come in and we pray for them in faith, but they die, and then the next person with cancer, we pray for the same way and they get completely healed? I don't understand. I don't understand why sometimes you do it in a second and why sometimes you take a month. I don't understand, and I wrote down all these things, like, why do good people die? Why do they get sick? All this stuff. And so I'm sitting there with my paper, and I felt like, you know how the Lord just impresses in your mind? I felt like he said, you are living in this side of the column, what I don't know, and the devil has paralyzed you. You can't move. You can't step out in faith because you're so worried about what you don't know. You're so focused on all these questions that you can't even step in faith. And in a really nice daddy way, he said, I want you to move over to this side of the column. Start with God heals and go from that. Every person who comes in your room, forget about this side and just go with this side, and you can do it. And slowly my questions on that side got answered, some of them. Some of them I still have, but he said, don't worry about that. One of them was, God, I don't want to make you look bad. And then he's like, you can't make me look bad, but what if we tell somebody you're going to heal them and then you don't? And he said, don't worry about any of that. Just focus on what you know. And so I felt like probably today there might be some of you, even you've been in healing rooms, but you have a lot of questions, and sometimes it hinders because they're real questions. They're real things. But when you're praying for people, if you can step into just what you know for sure, and let him take care of all the what-ifs and I don't understand. So if you just go with what you do understand, Jesus came to earth. He healed everybody that he encountered. So he either wants to heal or he's the most rebellious son that ever was. And we know he's not rebellious. He does what his father wants to do. So I know it's his heart to heal. And I am convinced now that every person that comes in my room or I encounter, my thought is God wants to heal. And if my mind starts going to what if, I say, no, I'm not going to live there. I'm going to go to what I know. So if you're in that place, I'm probably stopping earlier. I'm going to finish up here. I tend to go quicker than I should, but I want to pray I want to pray into this, and I want to pray for those of you who want God to really come and increase your vision for more just in your region and your healing rooms. And maybe not everybody's called to have a full-blown center, but I know God needs one or two or three or four or five or wherever you live. He needs centers because there's sick people. There's people who want to be trained. There's people who have musical gifts. Even if you did one set, what if you said, I'm going to start a house of prayer, and you did one-hour set a week? See, what hinders us sometimes, what hindered me on the house of prayers, I thought I have to go 24/7 off the bat. Well, you can't do that. It takes a long time. We've been going over 2 years, and we have a couple sets, live sets every day. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight usually. So what we've got going, though, it's really starting to build momentum now. And I thought with Julie being there for a year, it would really grow, and it hasn't. It's starting to grow now, but God had to show me it's not about Julie Meyer. It's about me. And so I thought, okay, I get it now. And now it's really starting to grow. So it's not about who he brings. It's about his presence being there. So if you just keep your eyes fixed on him, ask him what he wants for your region. And maybe I can play that word tomorrow from James Gall about the healing rooms and houses of prayer being connected like Siamese twins, and an explosion will happen. So what if you started a house of prayer 1 hour a week and you just devoted and said, God, we're going to give you this time because you're worth it. Julie, myself, my sister, and another girl do a set every Thursday morning for 2 hours on worship and the word. And we read scripture and we sing them back to the Lord. And it's a powerful set. I do a couple by myself. Another one is I open the Bible and I play the keyboard, which I just started playing 2 years ago. So I kind of am not very good, but I'm good enough just to stay in the key of C and do blah, da, da. Very basic. But I said, God, I'm giving you this time with my basic playing. I read a scripture and I pray it out to him, and it's anointed. So you could even do a house of prayer like that if you don't have someone who could read. You could put on a music track. These things are easy, but what they do is they invite God's presence to a place. They draw his presence. They draw heaven to earth, and it just starts snowballing once you start small. So if you want to receive prayer for any or either of those things, let's just stand up, and I just want to pray. And Rick, if you have anything and you want to come up, you can. But Lord, we invite your presence. I invite you, you're already here, but I invite you to just increase. And as we pray, Jesus, what do you want to release from heaven to these people? Holy Spirit, we ask for what you want to release. So come, just move through this room, God. We honor you as the King of all kings. We honor you as the boss, the one who says what he wants, the one who gives us and ordains us with different giftings, with different callings. We honor you as the leader, as the head. And we say, come and speak to us. Come and give from heaven. Lord, we can't make anything up or make anything happen, but you can come and you can stir up and you can release gifts. And so, Holy Spirit, fill this room with your presence. Come from heaven. I just call heaven down to earth, and I ask for an increase in vision. I pray, God, that you go to every person who something was sparked in them. One of these things, whatever it was, sparked in them to start a school, a house of prayer, increase their healing room hours, whatever it is. I feel like God's going to release buildings. Lord, I ask that you release buildings to these people that need buildings for your kingdom's sake. It's not for them to build a name. It's to glorify your name. And so would you give buildings to people? Lord, I ask for financial miracles where there's no money like you did for us, that you would release finance. God, would you release finance? Lord, it takes money to do what we need to do. So finance, come to each one in this room. We call on the finance of heaven to break out. Break out from heaven and finance so we can do what you want to do. Lord, I ask that you just increase our vision. Lord, I want my vision increased. Lord, your kingdom is flourishing. And I ask that your kingdom would come to earth. Every single healing room represented here, let an increase of vision come. What do you have? Speak specifically to each person. Give specifics to healing room directors. And Lord, for people who are here who need their faith increased, with all these questions, we all have them. Lord, would you give grace from heaven to not live out of what we don't understand, to try to figure it all out and to be hindered. I break the power of hindrance, any demonic hindrance that says you don't know enough, so don't do this, or you haven't got this figured out, so don't do that. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask for an increase of faith, that you would come from heaven right now and increase our faith. I receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Good stuff, huh? Yeah, I wanted to just share with you how we got to the place where we're at today. And you know, Lori said we started with nothing. Go ahead and be seated. I'm not going to take very long, but I think it's important. Again, we're carrying something that we want to impart to you guys today because we know that we're not special in any way, but God is. And you know, we pray and we ask the Lord that we would impact our community, not just the churches, but also with the local government. We've joined the Chamber of Commerce, and we sow and sow and sow in other ministries, but also we sow into like the police department, our local police department. We sow money into them. And what is the pregnancy center, Lori? The pregnancy center? Central Coast Pregnancy Center. We've sowed into them. It's a Christian organization that are saving women, you know, babies from being aborted. And they needed an imaging machine, which is, you know, high-tech 3D imaging machine. And there's no way in the world they can afford that. But we bought it for them. And now, because that 95% of the women, when they see their baby that clear, don't abort them. And so we're sewing into that. We're sewing into a local secular program that helps seniors with medications, I think, affordable. We've sewn it to them. And I want to tell you, I just want to tell you, let me just back up a little bit, because I'm going to tell you how this thing works. How does God financing what we're doing? We never pass the bucket. We don't ask for money. We tell people, tithe to your church, your tithe and offering, just give it to your church. And so we never ask for money unless we have a special speaker. We will take an offering. But, you know, our healing room started the first few years in a church. And it started to grow, and then we started having expenses. We started having a staff. Now we have about 40 people on paid staff. We have a budget now. We have a monthly budget about $100,000 a month is how big of an operation we've grown into. And we don't pass the bucket. We don't ask for money. And how many of God's doing a new thing? You know, and some, it's all about mindset. It's all about what? Yeah, I mentioned that. When we have special speakers, yeah, I did mention that. Then we will, because people get to sow into good soil. You know, it's not that we need that money, but we want people to be able to sow because it's so important. We want to sow because it's so important. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad. But we were part of a church, like Lori said. I was an associate pastor. The church gave us one room. And when we first started, we put a wall in between that room, and we had two rooms and a little hallway. And we started really slow, small, but God's big, and we believe big, and God began to grow it. And within a year, we took over the whole educational wing of the church, upstairs and downstairs, all the office, all the Sunday school rooms were all healing rooms, and God was coming in power, and we were growing, but we were breaking even. and I said, we just said, Lord, we don't want to break even. We need enough money to be effective, and we want our own identity, because people would come to the healing rooms and say, they call it the Vineyard Healing Rooms, and we weren't the Vineyard Healing Rooms. We're a separate ministry, but the church was gracious to us to let us use the facility. And but we were growing, and we had more activity than the church did. There was always people around, because we were open every day, practically, and the church was open only on Sunday morning. but the hub of people are coming to the healing rooms, and we needed our own building, and we began to ask God for a strategy. We needed increase.
And I didn't realize, but I had a poverty mindset. You know, I wasn't thinking big. And the Lord began to talk to me about, you know, it's important, you know, to hang around people that are prosperous because it just rubs off of you. How many know we become like those we hang out with? It's true. If you hang around with a lot of people who are not going anywhere, a lot of people don't have any money, a poverty mindset, guess what? That's where you're going to be. I started hanging around successful people. And the Lord began to introduce us to some people that are millionaires and even billionaires. And I started thinking different. I was limiting God. And we don't want to limit God. God's unlimited, but we can limit God in the way we think. And I begin to ask the Lord for a strategy. And the Lord gave us a strategy. He said, practice the law of sowing and reaping. How many know that's a real law? Just as the law of gravity is, so is sowing and reaping. And so I told our team, I said, we're going to practice this law. We need our own building. We need a good building. We need to be in the best part of town. And we're going to practice this law of sowing and reaping. And so we would pray every month where we're going to sow. And how many know it's important to sow in a good soil? Just like the stock exchange. You don't want to sow it or put your money in bad stock, do you? Because you want a good return. And so we would pray and ask God where he wanted us to sow that month. And we would gather from our team, from our own funds, and out of our general fund. And we would pray and we would send it to a ministry where God would lead us. And we did this over and over for 12 months. And we sowed generously. And because we know, if you sow sparingly, guess what? You're going to reap sparingly. And so we gave a lot, and we needed that money. And by the end of 12 months, we did this for an entire year, starting in January. And then in December, between Christmas and New Year's, we checked our account, and we were in the black. We had $11.40 in our checking account. And we had a lot of expenses. We had paid staff. We had a bookstore. But we were in the black, and we felt good about that. But this building that you saw came up. And how many know that's a mountain of impossibility in the natural? So I said, Lord, let's just go take a look at it. We can't afford it, but let's just, for the fun of it, let's go look at it. When the representative showed us the building, we walked in, and the Lord said, this is your building. And so I said, man, this would be perfect for our healing rooms and the vision that God has given us. And I said, I'd like to talk with the landlord. And so the next morning I met with the landlord, and I said, you know, we really love this place. It would be perfect for our ministry. And he asked, what is the name of your ministry? And I said, it's the Healing Rooms of the Santa Maria Valley. He goes, I've heard of your ministry. And he said that a couple of my friends have been healed in your ministry. And so I go, right there, this is starting out good. And so I talked with him for about a half hour. We walked through the building, and he says, I want your ministry in my building. And so he goes, he hands me the keys. There's a handshake. He had no idea we didn't have any money. We had no money. We had $11.40. He had no idea. I didn't tell him. I didn't think it was important. He said, we'll write up a contract later, but here's the keys. And so he leaves, and then I'm thinking, oh, no, what did I just do? What did I just do? We got this building. We have no money. How are we going to pay for it? You know, I mean, this is huge. I mean, it's a lot of money. We have no furniture whatsoever, no office equipment. We have nothing. You know, what are we going to do? No sound system. And so, you know, I called Lori. Hey, we got the building. She goes, what? And says, get down here now. I called our intercessors and some of our worship people. They all met down there. At the building, this empty building, we begin to thank the Lord for giving us this ministry. We took communion. We started worshiping in the building. We walked around the building. We buried communion in the soil. And I'm not kidding you. Within hours, people started hearing the Healing Rooms got a building, and money started pouring in from all different directions. I'm not talking about hundreds. I'm talking about thousands of dollars started coming in instantly as we stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. And how many know that's what God's asked us to do right now? This is the day. It's not a day to play it safe. It's the time to begin. God's looking for water walkers right now. And that's how you spell, you know, John Weber used to tell us in the vineyard, you spell faith, R-I-S-K. It's time to start taking risks. Step out of the boat. When you step out, God will step up. And so that's what we did. We stepped out of the boat, man. And here it comes. After sowing for an entire year, all of a sudden money started streaming in from all these different directions. People wanted to look at the building and go, man, you need furniture. People begin to buy us furniture. Somebody bought us a sound system. Somebody bought us computers, office equipment, state-of-the-art, nothing used. It started pouring in. And so we were able to open the healing rooms in January. And we had this building. And we only had part of the building. And now we have almost the entire building. It's a huge building. And we're negotiating now to buy it. And so the thing I want to tell you is we haven't stopped sowing. Every month we're looking, Lord, where do you want us to sow? Where do you want us to sow? And we sow hundreds of thousands of dollars now a year. Hundreds of thousands, not just tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands now, because this law, a law that can't be broken. It's a law of God. So we've learned, and it's greater to give than to receive. And the Bible tells us that God will give seed to the sower. And so we need, you know, he trusts us with the seed. And now he's given us an abundance of seed so we can sow it into other ministries. And help other ministries. And we can be God's answer for other ministries. And so now we're paying off church's debts. We re-roofed a church. We've given a church a parking lot that needed a parking lot. We've helped church all kinds of different churches and ministries. And as the Lord leads. And we've done a lot. But it starts, you guys, it starts with a vision. How many of you know that? Without vision, we're not going to go anywhere. We limit God. He's a big God. And I'm just a visionary, and I've got, God gives me ideas, and gives us ideas. And then when God gives us ideas, we write down those visions. How many know it's important to write down the vision? You know, it tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, I will stand at my watch, I will station myself on the ramparts, and I'll look to see what he'll say to me. And so that's, he doesn't say, I'll listen to hear, but I'll look to see. And how many know we need to look to see what God's doing? Lord, give me vision. Give me revelation. How can I impact my city? And that's where we're at, man. He's a big God. We want to do big things. I want to impact. I want to make an impact. I want to be a blessing to the churches. I want to be a blessing to the local government. I want to be a blessing to the businesses. We want to be the answer. And I just think big. I ask big because I've been hanging around people that think big and ask big. And believe big. And so, and then it goes on to say, the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So, first of all, you got to get revelation. Write it down. Every year we ask God for for vision. We write down the vision every year, and we put it where we can see it. And we ask for big things every year. We write it down, and by the time the end of the year is over, we cross off. Everything's been crossed off, and we've accomplished everything we've written down. If you don't write it down, you will forget it. Write down the vision. If God's given you a vision, it's important enough to write it down. And that's what we do every year. And we ask God for big things. Because he's a big God. We've learned when you ask small, guess what? That's right. So we learn to ask big because he's big. Again, we limit God. He's unlimited. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. And so what we've learned, you know, we've heard these prophetic words for many years that there's going to be a transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous. It's happening right now. And so what happened with us, and we've prayed this and asked this, we've asked God for kingdom investors. And so people are hearing about us. There are wealthy millionaires and billionaires out there right now looking for places to give money. They put money in these charitable gift funds, and you have to give it all to be taxed on it. And they're looking for good places to sow. And so we get the word out what God is doing, and it's attracting investors. And they say, man, I want to sow into that. And they'll contact us. What are your needs? What are your goals? So I want to tell them, this is our goal. It's big stuff. It's the small stuff, you get small. I have big vision.
And so then they hear, and then they begin to sow big. And that way we were taxing people. We're not always asking people for money. We don't have to ask for money. And then we've got investments, and our investments is running the whole ministry. Did you know that? The interest off our investments is funding our ministry. We have about 40 staff people, and we're always given. We have got so much going on. Like I said, our budget is about $100,000 a month. And God is, there's kingdom ways of doing things. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to change the way you think, you guys. Start thinking big. Ask God for a strategy. Don't limit God. Am I kind of blowing some of you away? I'm just telling you what God's doing with us. We're like a forerunner. It's a message. It's something that we're experiencing. I'm letting you know because God wants to bless you. He wants to bless every city in our nation. He's looking for people to step up and say, hey, I want to be the answer for our city. And like Lori said, with our house of prayer, with our prophetic rooms, and I believe we're going to have the answer for local government's problems. They're going to start coming to us. We're already making friends with the police department, with local government, with local businesses. And we know that they're going to come in, and they're going to get the answer. They're going to get the word of the Lord. Why not? So not only do we believe big for healings and miracles, and we're seeing extraordinary healings and miracles, and people are coming from other nations, they're flying in, they're coming from all over the United States. Why? Because they've heard, and they're coming with expectation. And how many know that your life expectations, I'll start preaching if I don't watch it. I'm not going to preach until tonight, but I'm sort of starting to preach now. It's kind of in me. But I'm telling you, man, I'm just telling you what we're doing. Stop limiting God. Break that poverty spirit off your minds and off your thoughts. Don't limit God. He's unlimited. There's plenty out there, you guys. There's plenty. Start acting. But you guys are already acting big. But start asking big. Get a larger vision. Like Lori said, there's buildings out there for you, and you want to be in the best part of the city. You don't want to be hidden. You want to be a light on a hill. You know, it's the wonderful thing, we have over 40 churches involved in what we're doing. There's a commanded blessing, that unity. You know, there's blessing. But we have favor with the churches, favor with pastors. We're not a threat to them. We're not taking their money, that belongs to them and their tithes and their offering. We're not taking their people. They come and they bless them to be a part of us, because when they go back to the church, they're a blessing to the church because of what God is doing. It's helping the churches. And so we have favor. We're helping churches. We want to be the answer. And God doesn't want churches to be in debt either. God wants places to be examples of excellence. And that's something God has given us. You see our building, if you see it in person, we do everything with excellence because he's excellent. And we're representing him. We're representing the king. You know, God gave blueprints for Solomon to build this temple. And it was excellent, wasn't it? Anyway. I just want to encourage you guys to go. Don't get stuck in status quo. Don't get stuck in mediocrity. Think big. Ask big, believe big, and watch what God does. He'll begin to do big things. It's time. It's time to step out of the boat, you guys. It's time. God's looking for water walkers. And we've even started youth programs. We're ministering. You even talked about, did you, the Pulse. And we're having a lot of youth. We have youth bands now. The youth are coming and being attracted. It's bringing life. And their friends, and it's just amazing who wants to come and be a part of us. Like Lori is telling, big names, and you guys would know them, are being attracted to what we're doing. And it's not what we're doing, it's what he's doing. It's not our vision, it's his vision. See, what we've done, we've built a house for him. You know, in Isaiah, it tells us, heaven's my throne, Isaiah 61, heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool, where's the house you'll build for me? Where will my resting place be? And we said, Lord, we're going to build you a house. We don't want a place where you just come and visit, but we want to build you a house where you're going to live, a habitation. Not a visitation, but a habitation of your glory and your presence.
And so we've done that. And that's the first thing people do. When they walk in our building, they feel the presence. They encounter Jesus. And I'll tell you, a lot of miracles happen right when the people walk in our building, right during our worship time or during our speaking time. The greatest miracles we ever see is not us laying hands on anybody, but it's people encountering Jesus as they walk in our building. We were closed, you know, a year ago, about 2 years ago now it's been, but time flies when you're having fun. But we were closed between Christmas and New Year's. We do that every year. We shut down the ministry, you know, give our team a break. And some people came from out of state, and they needed a miracle. And these two ladies came, didn't look at our website that we were closed, walked to the building, and they grabbed the door. But when they grabbed the door, it was locked. But when they touched the door, the power of God went through them, and they were both healed. See, we weren't there, but he was there because we built him a house. And a week ago, we were in Spokane, and I preached on this, and God gave me the blueprints of how to build a house, a habitation, a dwelling place for his presence. And I taught on that. I don't know if I would do that here or not, but I might just... who knows? I never know what I'm going to say when I come. I didn't know I was going to come up right now. Anyway, we just try to be led by the Spirit. But the thing I want to say to you is think big. Ask big. Believe big. Because God's doing big things right now. Don't miss. You know, wouldn't you hate to stand before the Lord one day and look back and see what you could have had, but you missed it because you played it too safe. You didn't risk. And I don't want to do that. And the rest of my life, I'm going to be a risk taker. And God has given us so much more vision. You know. Anyway, we're in the process right now of negotiating to buy our building, and it's appraised right under $6 million. But we're trying to get a little bit better deal. But we're going to pay cash for it. You know, I mean, we could pay cash for it. And we don't pass the basket. We don't ask for money. God is doing a new thing, guys. It's happening now. There's that transfer is happening now. And God has investors. Get the word out. This is my vision. Write down the vision. Pray into the vision, you guys. And then let the vision announce the vision. Announce the vision. If you got a small vision, guess what? It's too small. I don't want to invest in that. But when you got a large vision, And how you want to impact, where you want to be in 12 months, you know, what's your one-year plan, what's your five-year plan? What do you want to look like in 5 years? And that's what we do, and that's what we tell our investors. This is where God has taken us. And we know we're going to have an international school, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be within 2 years, we're going to have an international school. And God's already putting the people into place right now. And there's things stirring in our hearts. We have so much vision. And you, 2 years from now, you're not going to recognize us. We haven't arrived. We never arrive. God, the Bible says he takes us from glory to glory to glory. And we're going to keep going higher. We're not going to say, all right, we've arrived. Let's stop here. This is great. It is great. But we're not stopping. We're going to keep going. As long as God gives us vision. As long as he keeps giving us revelation. And as long as we don't try to control it. We don't want it to be our thing. We want it to be his thing. And that's important too. Help me know that. Lord, he said we're an apostolic center. It's apostolic team ministry. We have leaders over different departments. And we honor. It's the greatest. And everybody can't wait to get to work. We love it. It's a fun place to be. And God has even given us a retreat center place to go. And our staff gets to enjoy it. And it's a fun place to go. And we pay our staff well. We pay for their insurance. We have a retirement plan. You know, we don't have a spirit of poverty. Do you think God does? Anyway, I just want to pray for you guys. I want to impart to you because we have that to give, and I believe we came with some angels also. You know, God wants us not to be the tail but the head, and He wants us to have more than enough that we can give and bless and help others.
And we have so many things swirling right now, vision to help. To help our community, not just churches, not just religious organizations, but local government. Favor with our local government. And again, that's why we joined the Chamber of Commerce. We want to be the answer. They want the government to come to us, the police department to come to us, the mayor to come to us. And we will pray. We'll get the mind of God. Isn't that cool? But it all starts with vision. How big is your God? And we're no one special. We're just us. But he's very special. We're just not limiting him. I hope you guys are believing me here. I want you to stand. Everybody that wants to go beyond where you're at, I want you to stand right now like Lori did, and I want just to impart to you this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, we say that you're a big God. And Lord, you have big plans. And Lord, we repent for making you too small in our eyes. Lord, you're a big God, and Lord, we know it takes finance to do what you want to do with excellence, where people will look up to us and what you're doing and not down at us. Lord, I ask right now, Lord, that you'd break any kind of a mindset of lack, of impossible. Lord, Jesus, you said all things are possible to him who believes. Lord, we believe. We believe. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you want to bless us, not that we would be rich, but Lord, that we would richly impact our communities. Lord, that you would give us seed, that you'd trust us with seed that we can continually sow as you lead us into good soil. And so, Lord, I ask right now, Lord, I ask for every person, Lord, that you're just like that's listening to this right now that says, man, I want to go higher. I don't want to limit God anymore. But Lord, I ask right now you begin to touch them, begin to open their heart. I ask that you begin to give them dreams. Lord, I ask that you begin to give them a vision, give them a strategy. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that they begin start hanging around people that are prosperous. And Lord, I ask that they begin to believe big and ask big. Because Lord, you want to do big things. Like Lori said, there's buildings that God's going to begin to give people. He's going to, you know, God might give you a different strategy than he did with us. You know, but Lord, I just bless them right now. I bless them with prosperity. Lord, I pray for more than enough. Lord, I ask that you'd build team. And I pray, Father, that like you've done with us, we have excellent team. Lord, we have just warm bodies, but Lord, you've brought us the best of the best, and we do. And because we pray them in. Lord, we ask God, we ask that you'd send us your best. And Lord, you have, and you're doing that. And so, Lord, I just release this, Lord. I release this whole vision, Lord. And Lord, again, you're doing a new thing. And so, Lord, I release the new thing. We're in a new season. It's a new time, and you're doing a new thing. And so, Lord, we're not doing it the way we've done it for the last 100 years. Lord, there's something new. There's a kingdom way. There's man's ways, and there's God's ways. And Lord, we say that your ways are higher than ours. And Lord, we want to do it your way. And so, Lord, I impart to them what you've given to Lori and I. Lord, when we had absolutely nothing, Lord, I now impart to them, Lord, abundance, more than enough. Lord, that their bags would be filled full of seed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bless them. I bless them with your kingdom. Let your kingdom come upon them. Lord, open the heavens over them. Let them see from your perspective and not from our perspective. Lord, you're not limited. And so, Lord, we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right.
That was awesome. Praise the Lord. So in a few minutes, I'm going to have Jeff Falcons come up here, and he's going to give you an opportunity to sow. I mean, they don't want they don't want the money, I'm sure, but we don't feel right about that. So we're going to have you sow, and I'm going to tell you a quick story before he comes up, and this is a Ripley's Believe It or Not story. You know what I mean by Ripley's Believe It or Not? We have a friend who has a contracting business, and he had gotten some deals, and you know, he was cheated out of a bunch of money. This happens to a lot of people, doesn't it? So he had been praying for about 6 months for the enemy to restore, you know, what he'd stolen. And he said, one day, he says, I was in my car and I'm driving, and all of a sudden he goes, Holy Spirit comes in the car, swoosh. And the Lord started, oh, prior to that though, right, let me take it back. Prior to that, after 6 months of declaring this, him and his wife were balancing their checkbook. And there was an extra $1,000 in the checkbook, and they're like scratching their head. They can't figure it out. They double checked everything. And he says, well, second month comes around. Extra $1,000 in the bank account, and they can't figure it out. So this time they called the bank and said, you know, what's going on here? And the bank can't find anything wrong. 6 months in a row, extra $1,000 in the bank account. Okay. Now he's driving in the car one day. Swoosh, Holy Spirit comes in, starts to speak to him. His name was Steve. And the Holy Spirit, and God speaks, and he says, Steve, I just want you to know that wasn't me. And he goes, Lord, what do you mean it wasn't you? He goes, that was the enemy starting to restore what he had stolen from you. Then he told, here's the Ripley's Believe It or Not part. Then God started to talk to him about kingdom investing. And he says, Steve, when you put your money in the bank, do you expect a return? And he says, well, yes. And he said, well, he goes, my return is 30, 60, and 100-fold. He says, whenever you sow into solid ground, he goes, a deposit is made in your heavenly bank account. And he says, Steve, when you get to heaven, you're not going to need money. That money is for kingdom business on the earth. He says, when you need money, just ask. And he says, your angels will get it for you, and the money will come in, so you can do kingdom business. And he said, he looked to his right, and there's a rainbow over the passenger seat. And he said the rainbow stayed there until he passed the county line. I don't know what that means, but he passed the county line and the rainbow disappeared. But it was God's provision. So there's your Ripley's Believe It or Not story. Okay? So I'll put and we'll put a couple of baskets up here. Pastor Jeff's going to come up and say a few words. And then don't leave. We have some gifts for you. Okay? You got something you want to say first? All right. This usually happens, so.
Yeah, who do they make the check out to? Healing Rooms? You sure it out to His Glory Ministries? Okay, same for books and things at the book table, that I guess Healing Rooms, okay? Because it's our Healing Rooms, we'll know which Healing Room it is. Thank you, Jeff. I just wanted to add something. First of all, are you enjoying Rick and Lori? This is the reason we wanted them here. Because we're getting some practical things. We're getting spiritual things, but we're also getting practical advice and counsel and input, things that we can all use. Because we've had questions from everybody. Well, how do I go about getting the finances? How do I get out of a church? This is why we wanted them here, to be able to show us what their vision was and to encourage all of us to have our own visions and to be able to walk into something bigger and better than what we've ever known before. I'm going to add one little thing to what they said, and it's something that's worked well for us, and I'm sure they probably do this anyway, but and maybe you mentioned it and I didn't pick up on it, but a few years ago our Healing Room started to tithe to Jewish organizations, Messianic Jewish organizations. And we have found that, you know the scripture. We all know the scripture, right? Those who bless my people will be blessed. And the Lord told us specifically a few years ago that we are to sow into some of these ministries that are seeing so many salvations among the Jewish people. And honestly, the Lord has never let us go wanting, ever. You know, we're not at the level that Rick and Lori are, but the Lord has blessed us. And we're very, you know, we're just sharing that with you. We've shared with you some ways how to advertise your Healing Room, you know, putting flyers up in retirement centers and nursing homes and churches and talking to pastors and putting ads in local papers. Very, very many things that you can be doing to advertise your Healing Rooms, because some of you say, well, nobody comes.
There's things we can be doing, and Rick and Lori have just shared some wonderful things with us about how they are making connections, networking, relationships. It's all necessary if you're going to have a successful healing room. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I wanted to thank Rick and Lori for bringing us some wonderful stuff. So anyway, did you want something more? Okay, all right. Jeff is going to come up, and he's going to take the offering. But before that, I have a number in my mind. We have some little door prize type things. I've got a number in my mind. I'm going to use all biblical numbers. Who knows the biblical number for salvation? Yeah. Nope. 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 It's a number between 1 and 200. Okay? None of you know the biblical number of salvation? Who said it? Who said it first? You got it right there. That was the number of the fish that the fishermen caught in the net, remember? That is the biblical number of salvation. So where did Vince go?
Rick and Lori, we have an expression for what you're doing at your healing rooms here in New England, and we say it's wicked cool. Word of God tells us that we are to believe on the prophets and you shall succeed, but it also tells us that we are to honor the prophets. Now, while we were in worship, I got a word from the Lord. I was reminded 2 years ago when I was at Chuck Pierce. He said that in the state of Massachusetts and this area, that the land would have to crack and break forth because the land remembers the revivals that took place of Jonathan Edwards. And as I was last night, I kept seeing California go smashing. California was coming across the coast, going smashing in the state of Massachusetts. And the Lord said that the West would crack forth the East, and out of the rocks of Massachusetts would begin the flow of the anointing of past times and the past revivals. So praise the Lord for your timing and while you're here. And we will teach you how to speak Massachusetts before you go home. We'll teach you how to park your cars. You don't fall that within the lines or nothing. And let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you for provision. We thank you for the prophetic words that are going to be spoken, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask today, Lord God, that you said we are to be givers. And today, Lord God, not only do we give of our hearts and our souls, but Lord God, we give of our finances. You said we would be blessed by those you bring forth to us, but we were blessed going in and going out. And so, Lord God, we just as we receive this offering, Lord God, we give out of our hearts, not of our needs. We give out of our love for the kingdom of God, because we're children of the Most High, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't forget what they just said about sowing generously. We see a return. We see the return coming. Interesting what Jeff just had to say, because I was walking down the hotel hallway yesterday, and the Lord said, be prepared that there's going to be a blast from the past. There's going to be something revisited here at this particular conference. And as Jeff was talking, I thought it kind of fits. That something is going to be revisited that was here and will return, will be again.
We're going to push off the start. The afternoon session will be 2:30, okay? So you don't have to rush, 2:30. Oh, there's some restaurant maps out in the foyer. Thank you all for sowing. You know how we know the biblical number of salvation is 153? How many fish? How many fish did Peter catch? It's 153. He said, "I'll make you fishers of men." It's lunchtime. If you didn't know, if your stomach's not growling, 2:30 though, we'll resume. Go visit the book tables. There's anointing oil out there. There's some wonderful banners that one of our team members makes. So, 2:30. We'll start at 2:30 to give you plenty of time. Okay? But we're going to start 2:30 sharp.
Lunch is on Saturday at 12:30. So 10 o'clock, 2:30, and 7. That's it. And then, except for Saturday, we're having lunch at 12. It's essentially 10. Today it's 10, 2, and 7. 10, 2:30. Lunch at noon or whatever they get done, and then 2:30 and 7. So especially the Sunday. Yeah, it does seem to be that way, doesn't it?